Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, salutations. Hi there. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And if you're not, take a deep breath and co-create something better. Yep, got it. Okay, so thank you for listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm your host, Ellen Hartwell. And, you know, I always have this little blurb that I do before we get on topic. And you know what it is? And I was thinking about that you guys know to wear a mask, to wash your hands, to be careful of crowds, and to protect yourself. I know you do, and that's good, but I think I do that to remind myself that we're not out of the woods yet with COVID. And because we're not out of the woods, even though it's frustrating and it's isolating and it's just not nice to deal with, I promise you, all the precautions you and I take make it more tolerable, because you do not, I repeat, do not want to get COVID or any of its variants. So wear a mask, sanitize your hands, and be a little cautious, okay? Great. Okay. Got it. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you to my dear friend and my mentor and my sage, John Warren. How are you today?
I am good. I am very good. Thank you for asking. I'm always happy to be here doing this on Tuesday. And I don't have anything else to say about the. I don't understand what the problem is with wearing masks. It baffles me. Of all of the problems that one can be confronted with in this world and this life, manifesting them wearing a mask inside a Piggly Wiggly is not one of them. Just put it on. Don't be stupid. Just who cares? Wear a mask. And if you don't know what
exactly
Piggly Wiggly is, because you're not in a different part of the country or the world, it's a grocery store. In the Safeway, in the A&P, in the Walmart. If that's your biggest problem, you are blessed beyond all reason, is my snotty ex-high school teacher attitude about it. But it's true, and that's the way I feel about it. But I'm good, Ellen. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm interested in the topic this week because it's a funny title.
It is, actually. So let's go into that. Our topic for today is the naked man. Well, if you care to, you can read it in the Gospel of Mark. It's chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. It's just a few sentences. And the story goes that Jesus was being arrested, and he had followers and supporters with him in the garden, which actually wasn't a garden. It was a wine press, but we won't go into that. Anyway, the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus was there, and the Roman soldiers came to arrest him, and his disciples fled in fear. And so did this other person. All we hear is that a man who had a linen garment around him began to run, and the soldiers grabbed a hold of him, and it loosed the linen garment, and he ran off naked. Now, there are a lot of theories about who was that man. Apparently, direct translation, he was quite a young man. So we don't know who he was for sure. It might have been Lazarus. It might have been Mark himself, although Mark was not quite a young man. So nobody knows for sure, and I frankly don't think it matters. You can look it up. There are all kinds of theories. But anyway, he's trying to escape. The garment comes off, and he runs away, terrified of being arrested and persecuted, so he ran off naked. That's all we hear about him. That's it. And I thought, so many of the stories in the Bible are instructional and interesting, and some of them can make you mad, but whatever. And I was reading that not too long ago, and I thought, you know, I never paid attention to that. Who is that naked man? And it just started rumbling around in my mind, and I realized the who doesn't matter. It's the what. So what is that story about? It's a story about fear, running away, being terrified. It's a story about lack of courage. It's a story about vulnerability, because if you're stripped naked, or if I was, never mind how horrible that would be, but you feel vulnerable right away. Nudity makes you feel vulnerable. Now, I know there are exceptions. There are nudists who do not feel that way. God bless them. That's fine. I personally don't want to walk around naked. If you do, God bless you, I have no problem with it. It's just my cup of tea. So if I was naked all of a sudden with a lot of people around and I'm running through the streets, yeah, I'd feel very vulnerable, to say nothing of embarrassed and frightening small children. So to me, when that man ran and his linen garment was grabbed away from him, he's suddenly not only terrified, he's going to be arrested and persecuted, maybe even put to death for being a supporter of Jesus, but also he's naked. And so the vulnerability level had to be way up there on the vulnerability Richter scale, I would say. And also, as he ran away, we don't hear anything more about him, just he ran away. He was running from his faith. And I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes I run from my faith, being a person of faith, whether it doesn't matter. God, Spirit, Universe, the God of your understanding, I'm just going to use the word God because that, to me, covers it all. So I run from God sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with this. I just want to drink my coffee and be left alone, and I don't want to be a metaphysician, and I don't want to have to think about it, and I don't want to have to pray, and I don't want to sing songs of joy. I don't want to do any of it. Leave me alone. And God, of course, says, oh, okay, no problem. But then, of course, it's so uncomfortable for me that I get right back on my faith wagon. But during those times where I just don't want to do it, I am running from my faith. Why? Not because I don't have it, and thank God I'm not in a country where I would be persecuted for it at this point in time anyway. Don't go there, Ellen. Okay, I won't. So I have the joy and the freedom of being able to praise and pray and do my God thing whenever I want, wherever I want. So when I run from God, I'm running from the accountability that is mine to the faith that I have in the God of my understanding. And that makes me feel very naked. That makes me feel very vulnerable. That makes me feel very, very frightened. Because in those moments when I do that, I run from it all. I don't want to be a grown-up. I don't want to be responsible. It is not fun. It's hard work, blah, 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 sitting on the pity pot. I am more vulnerable than ever because then I have the sense of being alone. Now, we can all get lonely. We can all feel alone. But the truth is we are never alone. We cannot, it is not possible, to be separated from God. But we can feel as if we are. And to me, that is a horrifying feeling. Why? Because I don't have the courage to face the God of my understanding. Of course I do. The God of my understanding loves me, period, not comma. No matter what hideous, horrible mistakes I've made, I can always turn to the God of my understanding and say, oh, God, did I flub up on that? Oh, man, what a mess. And he'll go, yeah, you did. And I'll say, ugh, please forgive me. Well, you're already forgiven, so let's talk this through. And I work through my issues, and I try to do better next time. Do I do better next time? Sure, sometimes. Not always. I'm a human. I'm no guru here. I flub up a whole lot. But getting back on the faith wagon is what it's about. Now, we don't know who that naked man was or what he did, but he ran off alone. He was not supported. Nobody said, hey, hide over here, that we know of. Maybe they did, but we don't know that. And so as we run from our faith, we lack courage, we lack that sense of being accompanied, and we lack a sense of purpose and knowledge that we are not alone and that we are here because God is expressing himself, herself, itself as us in this very moment. And when we forget that, we're running away naked. Our clothing, if you will, in the spiritual realms is our faith. It's our belief that there's something out there, a power greater than ourselves, that is working always through us and with us on our behalf. And when we forget that, I don't know about you, but I'd wager a bet if I were a gambling woman that, oh boy, that doesn't feel right. Oh boy, do I feel naked. Oh boy, do I feel frightened. Boy, howdy, do I feel totally alone and vulnerable and scared. And I'll confess, a little bit ashamed, maybe a lot ashamed. Why did I turn away from God? Why did I do that? Because I didn't want to be a grown-up? Because I didn't want to say my affirmations? What is that about? And it's just a bratty place. It's a little kid place where I want it to be 1, 2, 3. I am a person who has, and there it is. Mwah. I don't know if you're that immature. Sometimes I am. So as I look at all that and I look at the naked man, I go, yeah, I can't know what that was like, but I can get a sense of what it was like to feel totally alone, unsupported. My faith is out the window. Here I think I'm this naked guy now. Here I think that this man who's being arrested and most likely killed was going to be the king of Jerusalem. And no, he's going to be some dead guy. And, oh, my God, you know, my belief is wrong, my faith is wrong, and I'm about to get persecuted for it. Get me out of here. Okay, got it. I can understand that. However, if he just waited 3 days, he would have found out that his faith was in the exact right place and that the God of his understanding was no more dead than he was, quite alive in a different form. So giving yourself a chance to just wait a minute. Okay, maybe you're not feeling like doing affirmations, and maybe you feel like God has no idea who you are, and maybe you're feeling lost and alone and faithless. Okay, give yourself a few days. Give yourself a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks, a few months if you need it. But understand that the minute you reach out toward God, God will run to meet you, like with the prodigal son. You know the story, I won't bore you with it, but when that prodigal son who'd been out doing God knows what with God knows whom came back toward his father didn't say, oh yeah, great, you're home. No, he saw him from a distance and ran to meet him. Let us not forget that. Ran to meet him. Now, of course, we can't be separate from God, but the story tells us something. The minute I reach out, I don't even have to lift my arm out all the way because God will race to communicate with me, race to embrace me with his loving forgiveness and care. Without that sense of faith, and for you it may be different, but you have faith or you wouldn't be listening to the show. Without that faith, I am vulnerable, I am naked, I am alone, I am lost, and I'm ashamed to have turned away from my faith. Now, what can we learn from that? We can learn from that that you are human, and there are times you're going to run. Now, maybe not naked, but you're going to run from the whole shebang, metaphysics, law of attraction, science of mind, whatever. You're just going to turn your back on it and go, ugh, not doing it. Never works for me. And, yeah, well, it might have worked, but I didn't get what I wanted. I got that instead of this. Well, that instead of this, that means it's a breadcrumb on the way to your manifestation in its perfect form. So as we start to think that way, we're moving back toward the God of our understanding. We're moving back toward our clothing, which is faith. And we're moving back into a sense of being connected to the very energy that created the Rocky Mountains and also created you and me and everything we see. And so as we join back in our faith and we put our faith clothes back on and we turn back toward God who never turns away from you, as we turn back, then we are complete, we are whole, we are clothed, we are fulfilled, and we can have that communion with the God of our understanding as the authentic self expresses its has, not desires. I was going to say desires, that's a mistake, but to say I'm a person who has, and that authentic self puts it right into the flow of manifestation field that is always going on. We are always co-creating, but as we do it consciously, it comes back to us in its perfect form, and we again feel restored to our faith. I like to imagine that that naked guy found a hiding place and somebody gave him something to wear and that his faith was restored. I'm sure it was, but we don't know that. We don't know that, so I always like to finish a story with a happy ending. But you and I have happy endings, because no matter how many times we run away naked, we can turn back and get back that sense of security, that sense of I am a person who, that sense of I know that I have a connection with higher power, God, spirit, universe, him, her, it, whatever you label it, I have a connection with that. And then we go past the connection to a conscious understanding that God is expressing himself, herself, itself, as you, as me, in this moment and in that place of knowing that, we become co-creators extraordinaire. And we can move forward with our life, not being naked, not being afraid, and understanding that we all have those naked man moments, but we need not stay there. So that's what I have to say about that. I don't know what you think of that. Write to me. Tell me. So you are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. If you'd like to get a hold of me or some friend, just go to our website, ellenhartwell.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Some clothes on first, though, okay, just because. Okay. Let's see. Oh, next week's show is about how unpopular is that? Is that the title, John? Oh, one of the most unpopular things is the title. One of the most unpopular things. That should be interesting. So I am going to go mute, John, and you let her rip, Tater Chip.
Okay, here I go. Ellen, this is a weird one.
Cool.
I didn't know about this story until you mentioned it last week. And I read the Bible. I mean, honestly, I mean, I read it from a metaphysical standpoint, and I enjoy it. I am not a traditional Christian by any stretch. And I look to Jesus as the great teacher, the great example. All the way through, but I somehow missed this story over the years. And I also really like church, by the way. Like, you can enjoy the church I grew up in, I really enjoy the liturgy, and I always have, and the music. And one thing I have to say, I have always thought about, and this is a little cocky, so just go with it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a little cocky when it comes to this stuff, if you haven't noticed that already. But I will say, one thing I've always thought, I remember thinking this as a little kid, I grew up with that sort of broad or high Episcopal Church, the Anglican tradition, is that the sermons often were overwrought, where like the minister was overthinking the story. And like, because a lot of the Jesus lessons to me, and this is even more true once I found metaphysics, are actually pretty straightforward and simple. There's thousands of years of, you know, superstructure, and you got to get butts in seats every Sunday. And so, you know, you complicate things a little unnecessarily, in my estimation, for a thousand years that, you know, in Latin, therefore no one really knows what you're saying, but it seems mysterious. This is an interesting story to me because as Ellen was talking, I realized something, first of all, that I missed this story in all of that time in listening and reading. And second of all, I think it's one of those that is, as Ellen was talking, I was thinking, okay, why is this story even there? Like, why did Mark put it there? Because it's like rule number one of storytelling or screenplay writing. If you take a screenplay class, you will hear this. If the scene's in the movie, it has to mean something. It has to be in some way move the story forward, like bring us to the next thing. That's the whole point of a scene. If it's just random, as opposed to our lives, which, you know, there are scenes in our lives, in quotes, that may not really be part of our story in the end. They're just something we did. No one needs to see that I just went to the fridge and got a bubbly water while Ellen was talking. It doesn't progress the story. It doesn't make any difference. And But why? So why did Mark include this? Because I think, you know, whether it was divinely inspired, the Bible or not, it's very good storytelling, and it's there for a reason. And that's what I was thinking about as Ellen was talking. And I do think it's a story about faith. And I think it's a story about a loss of faith. I also think it's, interestingly, a story. Because what the guy does, when Jesus is being arrested, he's like there. He's there at the wedding. He's there at the party. He's a groupie. He's there with Jesus all the way, whoever this guy is. He's there for the dinner. Then things turn south. You know, I get this visual of the cops coming in and raiding the place. But, you know, then things turn south. And it would have been interesting just to say, and this guy ran away, and that guy ran away. Because he's not the only one that goes, oh, I don't know that guy. Like, oops, no. Peter, you know, says, I don't know who that is. Betrays him a few times. Three, right? And so people turn their backs on him. That wouldn't have been enough. It's the fact that he lost his clothes that makes this story the reason why it's there. Why is this in the screenplay? Why is this in the story? And it's because he loses his clothes. And here's my interpretation of it that I just got to 5 minutes ago, so go with it. And I will say yes, and I bet you I'm smarter than all of the people who went to seminary. No, I don't bet that. That's a horrible thing to say. I don't bet that. But here's my interpretation from a metaphysical standpoint. There is a point when you are studying metaphysics, when you understand. And believe me, I think this is a practice. As long as we are incorporated in physical bodies, we will be practicing this, getting better at it. Sometimes God's a noun. Sometimes God's a verb. Sometimes I use affirmations. Sometimes I use visualization. Sometimes I take a break. Sometimes I completely forget that I'm in the midst of co-creating my reality. So you practice, practice, practice. I have gotten better and better and better. But it hasn't been a straight up the mountain. There's been some valleys. You go up and down, mostly up. There's a point in this study, in this practice, where if you try to flee, you are stripped. And here's the thing about being naked if you're a human being. Because if we were all apes, being naked wouldn't mean anything. I'd walk down, everybody's naked. All the apes are naked. My dog has no clothes, his hair, but all the other dogs, they don't have clothes. So if my dog's not technically naked. Nobody notices that my dog doesn't have clothes because it would be weird if he did. However, human beings, almost since we came out of the caves, we wear stuff. So if you are stripped of that, you are noticeable. You cannot escape. You can go into the darkness, the woods, which I would say, and I've said this before, there's a certain point in metaphysical evolution where the only way to unlearn what you've learned is to inebriate in some way. And even then, which is to say, destroy your physicality, even then, I don't believe that you actually forget it or that you actually don't unlearn it. You may forget it for a minute, but unlearn it. But you don't unlearn it. Why would you want to? Because, like, let's take Jesus out of it and call him Christ. When you get to the Christ consciousness, to the moment, because there is a moment when the rubber hits the road. And I mean this, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the moment in the Christ story, not the Jesus story, in the Christ story where the consciousness, where the rubber of the consciousness hits the road. If what we're saying is true, then consciousness evolves life. You aren't a conscious being because you have a biological life. You have a biological life because you are a conscious being. That's what we're saying, and that's what we believe, and that's what we continue to say, have faith in this, and then try it. Or don't have faith, just try it. Try it and see what happens. But what we're saying when the rubber hits the road is there will come a point where you're going to die. The physical part of you is going to go away. It's going to die. And what we're saying is, and this is the rubber hits the road moment, and there will be a day and a half or so, probably, you know, the metaphors of this story at the end of Jesus' life are pretty clear. That there's a moment where it's like, okay, I'm going to surrender this body now. And I know I am. And like in his case, I'm going willingly. He has to be there because he knows who he is. And he could actually choose not to go. It's not like he's an old man. He's 33 or something. He says, I'm going to go willingly now, but I'm going to let go of this body to prove the point. that you are consciousness that created a biological body, not a biological body that created consciousness. And that moment, that man, and I have been this guy, and I get it. It's like, oh, I don't want to know what I know. Because it feels in the dark of night when the cops show and break up the party, and you know the guy you've been following, the consciousness track that you've been on is going to up your game. But it's also going to up your responsibility. It's going to up your presence. It's like, oh, I want nothing part of this. So not only does he run away, because I think it's interesting that he runs away, but he's stripped naked because there is a point, which means there's nowhere for him to hide. He can go into the woods for a minute while no one will see him, which is to say he can get drunk, he could probably get high. But if he wants to be in the rest of his life and he's naked, there's nowhere to hide. Point in metaphysical evolution where literally you have to keep going and own and know who you are, which is a conscious being creating a biological body and a physical three-dimensional reality that you are in right now, and get a hold of that and say, God is with me, whatever it is that you believe in, God noun, which works for me recently, I've been praying to God, or God verb, I am a person who, and I'm using the consciousness of working through me, get a hold of it and move forward. And that's what's interesting about this story to me. I think it's there for this very specific reason of to show to people that there is a moment in the Christ evolution, which you, as this is the track you and I are on, that's what we're doing right now. We're evolving our consciousness to be more towards the Christ consciousness. We are remembering who we are, where you go, oh, child, I'm responsible for my life? No, that can't be right. I need to blame someone. I need some drugs. I need to go back to my life where I was unconscious and I didn't know that this is who I was. I'm going to run. But if you are that point, and if you are listening to this show, you are at that point. I'm sorry to break the news to you. If you try to run away from this information now, it will do you damage. You have to go in denial. You have to get drunk. You have to do things because you will be stripped naked. It's too late. And that's actually, and they call it the gospel, and I'm going to finish on this, is that's actually good news. It's good news. Because I promise you on my honor, and I know this, and I don't care what any seminary says, that guy who ran away and was naked, he was exposed. There's nowhere to go once you know what you know. Once you know who you are, you cannot escape it. You are exposed. And that guy was forgiven. You are allowed to be afraid and run away as many times as you need to, but know that you are exposed. And the more that you practice and come back, the more you go, okay, I actually do have faith in this. I actually do know who I am. I'm going to put my clothes back on, and I'm going to get back on that pony, and I'm going to keep participating in my own evolution consciously. I'm not going to run away from the Christ consciousness, even when I don't like what it's doing, or it makes me scared. I'm being hung up on a couple pieces of wood. It's pretty freaking scary. I'm still going to keep evolving. Clothes on. Moving forward. And I think that's the point. I think that's why. But that guy's forgiven. That's the last thing I want to say. Jesus looked at that guy and went, well, I don't know what's happening, who he is, why he's running away. His clothes are on the ground. It's a little funny. He's forgiven. He'll get there when he gets there. And I bet you that guy came back, and I bet you he evolved in his life. And if he didn't, he came back in a different life and evolved. It's okay to know what you know and be afraid of it on occasion. Keep going. It gets better and better and more interesting. And I have run away and been stripped. And I get that too. It all works. You're evolving. Keep practicing. I hope that made sense.
It made great sense. That was think it was beautiful. We have 10 seconds, John, but yeah, that was excellent. Love it. Agree with you. Fabulous and wonderful. Next week's topic is one of the most unpopular things, and we will see you here next week, same time, same place. Let your lives rip, tater chips.